I'm John Rutledge, aka Eggsy from visionary rap group The GLC, lover of mystery, disciple of intrigue.
I'm Mike Bubbins, comedian and qualified PE teacher, fan of fact, seeker of proof.
We're on a quest to unexplain the most unexplainable mysteries.
For we are the Unexplainers.
Unexplainers. 3 a.m. This is the 6th ZPP zombie perimeter patrol of the night. About to enter the lower living quarters. Here we go.
Unexplainer's log. Securing your house against a zombie invasion should be part of everyone's evening routine. And with Mike staying over, I had to be hyper-vigilant. No one gets their brain sucked out on my watch.
No sign of the undead in any of the lower sectors. Hallway completely clear, apart from 4 Beano annuals and some empty crisp packets. About to enter final patrol of the kitchen. Oh, God.
Oh, my God!
Hey! John!
Huh?
Jono!
It knows my name!
It's just sugar and cheese puffs. Where's your biscuits?
He knows about the cheese puffs and sugar.
How'd you live like this?
Cheese puffs and sugar is my special dinner. I'm going in. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No. Yes, go in. No. Yes, I am. Shape up, get a grip, John, go in. No, it'll eat your face. I don't care, John, I'm going in. Okay, John, you're going. I'll cover you. Thanks, John.
It's just sugar and cheese puffs.
Guys, help me, guys! The undead shall be destroyed! Enter in the depths of hell!
John!
Oh, hello, Mike.
What are you doing?
I thought you were a zombie.
Why are you hitting me with a breadstick for? Where's that been anyway? Been looking for something to eat?
That's just bed bread.
Bed bread?
Yeah, just keep it in bed under the duvet. Suck on it a bit when I'm sleeping.
Although it looked, sounded and smelt like Mike, zombies also combine unstoppable eating habits with semi-human characteristics, so I had to run some basic diagnostics.
How could a man go from being completely unconscious in a bed to suddenly walking around on 2 legs? Explain that to me.
I was sleeping and now I'm awake.
You were dead and you were reanimated.
Zombification, Mike.
No, I'm trying to get something to eat in your kitchen. Snackification. Last time John ran one of his zombie checks on me, I felt like I'd died and come back to life. I had to stop this, and quick. Zombies don't exist in the real world.
Zombies exist in the real world.
No, they exist in films, they exist in books. In the real world, they don't exist, is the point.
Prove to me. Go on.
I haven't got to prove it, right? I'll tell you, you prove to me they do exist. And if you do prove they exist, I've lost the bet. But if you can't prove they exist, you've got to buy me whatever food I want to eat, whenever I want to eat it.
Why is it always a bet, Mike? You always want a bet.
Yes.
That's your answer, isn't
yes.
it? Oh, I bet ghosts don't exist. Oh, I bet there's no such thing as aliens. What's with the bets all the time?
It's called a plot device, if you must know.
Sort of leads the story on to the next part of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, ask the producer.
Is that right, Nathan?
What's that?
Plot device and that.
Yeah.
As the old saying goes, the more you trawl the net, the more truth you net. Not just tips on cooking water or growing your own fish fingers, but solid, tangible knowledge. According to legend, somewhere in Wales lies an ancient pot, a cauldron with the power to boil up the living dead. Mysteriously, they say absolutely no one knows where it is. Apart from one man who says he knows absolutely where it is.
Hiya, Phil.
Hi. Hi, John.
I'm Mike here, Phil.
Hi, Mike.
Phil has got something that can document the fact that these things go...
John brought me to Butte Park in Cardiff to meet an ultimate bringer of truth and knowledge. Not my words, the words of a Burke. Phil Aquady is actually a storyteller. My words and a fact.
The Pyre of the Denny, the Cauldron of Rebirth...
That's where the zombies come from.
I'm not, let me tell you the story.
Okay, sorry, I get carried away. Sorry. Yeah, go. Okay.
Thank you.
No worries.
The Pyre of the Denny, the Cauldron of Rebirth, appears in the second branch of the Mabinogion. These are ancient stories.
Yeah.
Written down in the 13th century in manuscripts and then translated in the 19th century. And it concerns...
Documentation of zombies. That's right, isn't it? Where they...
No.
Brilliant.
Do you want to tell a story?
No,
I've got other things I can do.
Don't
you
ask
can tell
that,
story.
I know one about.
John, shut up.
I just know one about a kid who did something to my B-Day when we were 11, but I probably shouldn't tell you about that one. He'd never seen one before.
Let Phil tell his story.
Oh,
and
sorry.
You shut up.
Yeah, all right.
This story concerns the children of Thlir. And the children of Thlir are Bran the Blessed, his sister Branwen, and his 2 half-brothers, Nisien and Efnisien.
They're half-brothers.
Half-brothers.
How do you stay alive when you've only got half a body?
Just let Phil finish the story. I mean, that's
sorry.
So anyway, the 2 half-brothers, Nisien and Efnisien, when the Irish king, Matholwch, came sailing into Cardigan Bay, he'd come to ask Branwen's hand in marriage to make an alliance between the Welsh and the Irish. but they neglected to tell Efnisien. And when he found out he hadn't been consulted, he was outraged.
Flipper.
So he went to the stables and took his fury out on the Tholoc's horses. Back when this story takes place, maiming someone's horses would have been an insult. Like scratching someone's car.
Yeah.
Like someone's gone past and just keyed your horse.
Yeah.
But he didn't key the horse. He slashed.
Hang on, I just want to say, like, in Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy puts bananas up someone's exhaust pipe.
Yeah, he didn't put anything up the horse's exhaust pipe.
The thing is, Phil, even if he'd wanted to throw a banana up a horse's exhaust in those days, you wouldn't have had bananas. They're from the West
Indies.
That's
true. And I'm glad, because that's just really cruel.
He did worse than that. What he did was he cut off their ears.
That's
just
awful, isn't it? I mean
that's just out of order.
Angry, that is. Efnisien, he's got issues, man. It's probably because he's called Efnisien. Probably goes right the way back. If you went to like a child psychologist, they'd say, why are you so angry?
It's my name.
He said, you know why? My older brother's called Nisien, and then my mum and dad called me Efnisien. If mum and dad had called me Michael, and then if I had a brother,
yeah.
F Michael.
Yeah.
Well, it's an insult to me for a kickoff.
Why couldn't they call him Gary or something like that?
Did they call him Dave? This would never happen.
No, that's true, that is.
Sorry, true. Phil.
So Matholoch was insulted and Bran offered him compensation, but it was only when he gave him the Pyre of the Denny, the Cauldron of Rebirth, that Matholoch began speaking to Bran again. And this was because he knew something of the Pyre of the Denny. He knew that if a soldier slain in battle was thrown into the cauldron the next day, he would crawl out fighting fit.
That's a zombie. That's something that's going to eat your brain. Sorry,
I don't know why you keep coming back to zombies all the time.
Yeah.
This is a myth, and it's full of magic.
Yeah,
like
Paul Daniels and all
magic.
That. Oh, say you love me, Debbie.
No, not that kind of magic. Magic comes from the other world.
Oh.
So anyway, I'm determined I'm going to finish this, because I've invested this time now.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry, the story.
Now Matholoch has married Branwen, and he's got this cauldron, so he sets sails for Ireland. Standing on a beach somewhere watching was Efnisien and thinking to himself, what a fool Bran was to let them have the cauldron.
You always hold on to your cauldron, that's what my granny used
to say. Not a word came from Ireland, didn't hear anything.
Not a sausage, what most used to say.
Until one day, a starling came and landed on Bran's shoulder. It could speak.
Like a parrot.
No, it didn't parrot things. It actually spoke.
Full.
Like we, you know.
Right.
So it told Bran what had happened to Branwen.
Nuts, that, isn't it?
Excuse me, did you ask me to
tell
you the story?
Sorry.
Branwen had sent the starling to find her brother Bran to tell him what had happened to her. Mm. Do you want to know what had happened
to
her?
Yes, please.
She turned into a zombie.
No.
Right.
The Irish were unable to forget about the maimed horses, and they didn't think the cauldron was enough compensation.
Well, here we go.
And so they wanted to punish Branwen, and so they stripped her of her queenly robes,
yeah.
And they dressed her in sackcloth, and they made her go and work in the kitchen. When King Bran hears this news about his sister, he raised an army and he set sail for Ireland. War erupted, slaughter everywhere. The Welsh seemed to be winning, then the Irish got the upper hand, and it wasn't too long before Efnisien discovered why. The Irish set a fire beneath the cauldron, and there were piles of Irish dead, and they were throwing them in, and the next morning, out would climb.
Yes, go on.
Fully fit.
Say it.
Fully fighting fit.
They're coming, Mike. They're coming.
Warrior.
It's just a warrior.
Yes.
Right.
They're not
just.
Zombies.
Yeah. Okay. Gutted. Is that it?
Sorry, Phil.
That's not the end of the story.
All right.
It's
okay.
Not quite the end of the story.
Yeah.
When Efnisien saw this, he began to curse his brother Bran for giving them the cauldron. But then, it suddenly dawned on him, all this carnage was down to him, because he'd maimed those horses. And he hid himself amongst the Irish dead. And when they threw him into the Pyre of the Denny, into the Cauldron of Rebirth, he stretched himself out. He pushed with his arms and his legs until that cauldron cracked. And as it split into four pieces, his own heart burst and he died.
Just so wow. Everybody's dying left,
well,
right and centre.
So out of those children of Thleir that we started the story with, only one of them survives.
Oh, man. And the rest are zombies.
No, they're dead.
Right.
They're not zombies.
Just, yeah, okay.
They're all dead. So that Pyre of the Denny, that Cauldron of Rebirth, maybe it would be better to be called the Cauldron of...
George Romero's Dawn of the Dead trilogy.
Will you stop with the zombies? Will you stop?
I'm trying.
Just let Phil finish the story,
sorry.
Please.
Yeah.
It would be better to be called the Cauldron of...
Zombification.
You think this is funny?
Sorry, Phil.
Sorry.
You've asked...
Carry on.
It won't happen again. It will not happen again.
The Pyre of the Denny, the Cauldron of Rebirth, would be better called the Cauldron of...
Zombies.
Shut up.
Hang on a minute.
Shut up.
Just wait.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. This is impossible.
Yeah.
I've tried my hardest. Goodbye.
No, Phil, please come back.
We're starting this.
Phil,
please.
John was visibly relieved. His mythical Welsh zombie cauldron that didn't exist in the first place had been destroyed, thus eliminating a threat that didn't exist in the first place. Which is a pity, because if it had existed, he was keen to die to destroy it. Gutted.
Right, follow me, Mike.
I booked this meeting with this guy, a good friend of mine. I think this is...
He's expected us, though.
Yeah, big meeting coming on. Reese, doctor.
Hello, guys, are you lost?
Or... can we let us in a second? I just thank you very much. I know you...
I've got to give a lecture in an hour.
Loads of time, mate. That's fine.
Hi, doctor.
Hello.
John had selected his next victim of time-wasting, Dr. Reese Jones. As a senior lecturer at Cardiff University School of Biosciences, this man could end all this madness with three simple words. Zombies don't exist.
Zombies do exist if we are looking at parasites. Parasites can affect the brain of the host, and then that host gets hijacked. So the parasite controls the animal.
When you say host, you don't mean like a Bruce Forsyth type of host. You mean a host animal?
Absolutely, yeah. We're a host animal. So that can be anything from another insect all the way up to, you know, quite complex organisms, even human beings. If we're looking at parasites that can affect human populations...
This is a thing?
It is a thing, okay. Absolutely. So we've got a parasite called Toxoplasma gondii. Toxoplasma gondii. Toxoplasma gondii.
Gondii.
It's
nothing to do with the guy who did world peace and all that?
Not at all.
Okay. Is it in any way related to a pacifist?
No.
Is there any way that a parasite could
start
a war?
Do you know if this particular parasite has got a problem with the concept of the British Empire and imperialism?
Would it have sort of sparked a strike off in all the cotton mills in the north of England and across the water in India as well, resulting in the sort of the Brits having to do something about this and actually take note of what the parasite was standing for?
I've only got an hour, gentlemen.
Right. Okay.
Just saying.
I mean, all I'm saying is give peace a chance.
Could we give Reese a chance?
Sorry.
And I'll answer the question?
That is, you know, that is, see?
Yeah.
Toxoplasma gondii lives in the intestines in cats, and they shed out cysts of this particular parasite in their poo.
Right.
And it's just supposed to infect another cat. But every now and again, that parasite is picked up by another host, another animal, and then it tries its best to get back to the cat, to the original host. Mice and rats will obviously eat cat poo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nutrient in it for them, okay? So they will eat it and they become infected. And then we see real mind control, and it literally hijacks the brain. The parasite works on a chemical called dopamine.
That's the sort of feel-good
hormone. It is, yeah. So, you know, in humans, if we get a lot of dopamine, we, you know, emotionally we're quite happy, we're not fearful, we're not that worried. That's what's happening in the mouse. Mice that would normally run away or stay away from cats, they'd be able to smell them a mile off and they stay away from them, all of a sudden they're losing all of their fear, all their apprehension, and will just walk straight up to a cat. They've got no fear of them at all. And of course the cat, most of the time, will kill the mouse and eat it, and of course the parasite is back to the cat. It's exactly what it's trying to do.
It's like some sort of weird voodoo Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Obviously with Toxoplasma, it doesn't understand which host it's in, so mice and rats have similar neurological chemical pathways to ourselves, and, you know, we can contract toxoplasmosis. If Toxoplasma gets in our system, it just doesn't recognise it's in a human. So the first thing it'll try to do is to alter our brain chemistry. It'll alter the amount of dopamine. So what it means is that people are slightly less stable emotionally, and also their fear response goes out of the window, because this is attacking the sort of emotional responses of our brain chemistry.
Emotionally unstable, showing little signs of fear? Was he describing Mike Bubbins? I, however, was frozen with fear, which in turn relieved me of fear, because at least I didn't have to fear I was infected. But then the fear came back and then it left and so on and so forth. I mean, you get the idea.
So obviously this parasite infects a cat. Now, I know a cat quite well that lives near me called Mr. Creamy. I'm a big fan of the cat. I'm not quite sure who his actual owner is. Now, Creamy obviously...
You got very familiar with him. I mean, he was Mr. Creamy.
Creams. Sometimes I call him Creams. Creaminator, Creamo, Big Cream. So Creamsy often pops in of a weekday night, pop upstairs, sleep on the bed for half an hour and leave.
On your bed?
Usually,
that's disgusting.
I put a blanket down for him. I'm not an animal. Is he leaving something behind I should know about here that could potentially turn me into a flesh-eating maniac?
What John's trying to say there, Doctor, is could Mr. Creamy specifically infect...
I think Mr. Creamy could. So there is a correlation between aspects of human behaviour and keeping cats as pets.
Things were starting to fall into place. John is perhaps the most catatonic cat lover I know. Could this be explained by a mind-numbing parasite?
So there are several ways to get infected by this.
Absolutely.
It could be accidental. It could be Mr. Creamy coming in and he's got a bit of, let's just say, dirt on his paws. He playfully puts his tiny hands on my face lovingly and I get a bit in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I'm gone.
And the sooner that happens, the better. I'm on Creamy's side here.
Well, let's just say, for example, Mike, you don't spend a lot of time with cats, but...
Because I hate cats.
But you've gone to the seaside for a day trip, you've bought an ice cream, you dropped it on the floor, one of Creamy's relatives is there, he started licking it, and as you've just shooed him on and picked the ice cream up to finish it, you've touched his back passage and you've got a bit of dirt on your hand and you've eaten that.
You're an idiot. So when I've picked up the ice cream that a stray cat has licked in front of me and I eat it, and I then, for some reason, pat him on the anus, well, if that did happen, I think I deserve to catch something.
Could Mike have it now? That's a question I would like to
ask. Absolutely. Some people will get toxoplasmosis. They show no symptoms whatsoever. Yeah. Okay, it's only when the cysts can come in, you know, get into the brain and start altering the brain chemistry do you see it. Other people have cold or flu-like symptoms for a month or so.
I've had cold for over a month.
I'm starting to worry now. Mike's not scared of anyone. He will take any man in a fight.
I will.
He's had a cold for over a month. Is he now one of the faceless army, as I call them?
Healthy individuals normally will just get over toxoplasmosis. They just get over it. It's only sort of immunosuppressed people where it can get very, very serious. And it can then be fatal. So we know that in the UK, between 10 and 20% of the population are actually infected with toxoplasma, and it's higher in the US.
I mean, 10 to 20%... of people is a rough estimate.
That's
of
5 million people.
The infection.
Maybe 10 million.
These are the people that are tested that we know about,
right,
by the way.
So these
are confirmed cases.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There's a faceless army of infected zombies. They're amongst us, they have no fear, and they could attack at any moment.
Finally, everything I believed in had been confirmed by a real scientist. Countless zombies were hiding in plain sight, and we needed to prepare for the onslaught. No more games, no time for simulations. This was it. We were going deep.
Well, we descended a couple of flights of stairs. We're now in a very dark... I imagine this would have been the vault back in the days when this building was a bank.
We're technically underneath the streets of Cardiff right now, yeah. Underneath St Mary's Street in Cardiff.
John thought he'd found the perfect room to escape to. He'd actually just found a type of game in a room called an escape room. Why are you looking so scared for?
Why am I looking so scared, Michael?
Why?
This isn't a game.
It is a game.
This is what I call training for the event. Ground Z, I call it. This really is...
This would be great fun.
This would be great training, Michael. I like you to take this seriously, and I like to think of this as prep for when it does happen.
Endav was on hand to read us our zombie-themed escape challenge before we were locked in a room for a game.
Right. Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So it's the zombie apocalypse and you're on the run and you've managed to find yourself in this safe house with a medical bay. The occupier has left because a safety defense system has failed, but he's left you with 1 hour to try and get that safety defense system up and running before it's too late.
So this pretty much is a pinpoint accurate, spot on recreation of what would happen if you were involved in a zombie apocalypse and you found a safe house. Mm-hmm. And you had the key to saving.
I mean, that's a very, very specific set of circumstances.
Very, very. Okay, so should we?
Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Mind the blood?
Well, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Why is there blood under the door?
There's a series of sort of hand marks and blood coming from.
Well, the last team didn't do too well, so that's what I mean. You've got 1 hour to succeed, otherwise. Can I leave you now, guys? Are you too scared for me to go?
I'm fine.
I'm a big boy.
For luck.
Bye bye.
Till yeah, well,
goodbye. Oh, God.
This looks like you imagine these sort of rooms would look like this, concrete. There is, like, a prison cell. There is...
That's a pretty sturdy...
Blood everywhere. Some gate, a lot of medical equipment.
Look at this.
Yeah. It's called a roller shutter, mate. Right. Those on my garage.
OK, just...
And there's, right, this is ticking down...
Well, right, there's a clock. OK.
I don't know what we're doing.
Right, OK, now, Mike, 59 minutes, 6 seconds remain. We've got 1 hour before it happens.
The aim of the game was to solve a series of clues that would aid our escape. On my own, I'd crack this puzzle almost instantly.
going under a table. There might be a clue under a table. Open these drawers.
But I was hindered by a dead weight who didn't have a clue and couldn't find any either.
Mike, there's a cupboard. This cupboard doesn't open. I found what looks like a key code pad to this. This could be the key. Hang on. That didn't do anything. Okay, 5816 remain. You do that, I'm going to...
I'll be honest, mate. If this was like a proper, like, apocalyptic vision of the future, and this was this weird zombie apocalypse, in a real zombie situation, you're complete dead weight. All you're doing is using some air up, you're going to use up some calories of the food that we got.
Good.
And you're contributing nothing. So what I would do in this situation, fairly early doors, is I would kill you.
Right.
Well, that's unethical, obviously, but I mean...
Teamwork. Now, that's good.
Mike was slowly being gripped by the zombifying effects of that taxoplasmosis cat parasite thing. Brain power was being sucked out of him. If we were going to get through this, I knew I'd have to step up and offer more help.
Mike, there's a clipboard or something over here.
Where?
Over there, through the metallic bars.
Now, what can I reach? Let's see what I can reach with this.
Get the stick.
Right. Do you understand how distance works? Yeah. That clipboard's about 8 feet away.
Right.
This mop is 4 feet long.
Right.
How's that going to work? What do you want to do? Make it levitate, just float over there and grab the clipboard for us?
I snap the broom in half and stick it together, it'll double the length.
If I snap a 4-foot stick in half, and then put it back together, it'll be twice as long.
Yeah.
If there's one thing this futile exercise would prove beyond any doubt, it's that zombie virus or not, John has the attention span of a corpse.
Wait, Mike, I found loads of tins of beans.
Well done.
Right, let's open this ammunition box. We've already got 10 tins of beans.
Right, inside there.
Hey, he's got a torch. 38, 35 remain.
In case you didn't hear, John had 10 tins of beans and a torch. Amazingly, this made no difference whatsoever to our situation, and once again, I had to take control.
Right, put that card in the card slot we found outside earlier.
Mike, I've got a better idea.
Go on, then.
Put that card in the card slot we found earlier.
Well, let's try that then, shall we?
Good. I'm glad we're working together like a unit now. Now, what's happening when we're putting the card into the card reader is absolutely nothing. So I'm glad I didn't suggest we do that.
Soon enough, my massive intellect had ploughed through pretty much all of the puzzles, leaving John dazed and bewildered, which meant he showed no noticeable change.
There's one more padlock left.
Now, Mike, there's one more padlock left.
Thank you, I'm already on it, John.
That's all right, good.
I'll use the 262, which I found, with the laser pointer that I found, with the key that I found.
So using teamwork, I've got a great idea. Why not put that code that I found into that lock now?
Your great idea is to have my idea.
This is teamwork.
It's not teamwork.
This
it's
is
not
teamwork. Teamwork. No, this it's is so... teamwork, because we're working together on it.
You standing by me while I work stuff out is not teamwork.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about it as you're doing it.
Right, you understand that teamwork's not a spectator sport?
No, teamwork takes two. And I'm watching it, you're doing it. Well done. Open that, like I said in the first place.
Shut up.
Let's do it together.
Right, we're not doing it, I'm doing it.
And that's right, we're doing it now. Just teamwork.
I just had an idea. We got a directional lock on that cabinet, right?
Right.
Do we go up, left, down, right?
Mike, why don't we look at that directional lock and see if we have to go up, down, left, right?
Down, right.
In conjunction. That's right, isn't it?
No.
Right. Oh, come on now, think.
I think it's up, down, down, but I might be wrong.
Wait, Mike. I think it's up, down, down, but I might be wrong. Up, down, down.
This little strip has turned like, into a yellow. I'll try up, down, left and see what happens.
Mike, try up, down, left and see what happens on the... 7 minutes, 23 remain.
I don't know what I'd do without you, but I'd love to find out. I really would.
Within what felt like 53 minutes, we were actually 53 minutes into the game, and time was running out fast.
OK, we need to find a way out of here now. It's literally a matter of minutes before they come down. We need to find this. We need to think.
F4.
So we need to find what F4 is, and we need to put F4 into the code. Now, I don't know what the code is, and I don't know how to get out of here, and I don't really know what's happening. Mike is just checking the clipboard in front of him. He's looking at the ineffective.
What does F4 mean?
Danny's saying, I don't know what F4 means. And I think we can both agree, none of us know what F4 means.
Let's treat this as a...
Just use teamwork! Just use more teamwork!
John's panicking now. I mean, he'd be no good in any sort of emergency situation. He's absolutely gone to pot now.
F4. Use some teamwork, Mike. I'm just going to go into this room and wait by here for a bit.
I mean, this is great fun. I recommend this for anybody, but...
Mike, can we have a bit more teamwork because we're running out of time?
John's having a breakdown, basically. We've got 50 seconds left, Pat.
Right, 50 seconds.
Mate, whatever happens, this is like the Crystal Maze, right? Whatever happens, we're not going to solve this in the next 49 seconds.
Stop talking for a bit. Just a bit more teamwork. Mike, we better get a move on it.
Where's that thing from earlier with the...
What thing? 21 seconds!
I'm going to take that out
I'm going to take that out now.
Right, you're just going to repeat everything I say for the rest of the time.
You're just going to repeat everything I'm going to say for the rest of the time.
Are you panicking now?
Are you panicking now?
When you panic, do you just repeat what I say?
When you panic, do you just repeat what I say all the time? Mike, we haven't got enough time.
Right.
There's a pair of gloves. Put the gloves on. Mike, we're not going to do it. Just close the door. Leave me here. Mike, just go
Six,
back to your house and meet that
five,
girl. I'll
four,
sacrifice myself
three,
for you. Mike,
two,
just close the door. Go
one,
without me. Come without me, Mike.
Boss. Hello.
All right.
How do you get on?
Exceptionally.
I mean...
Well, I'm do you sort of know the teamwork that we...
Well, yeah. And fair play, you, most of the clues you got.
Mike...
Well, you say most, I mean, in as much as all but one, yeah.
Yeah.
I was helping.
He helped you with the direction a lot.
You're watching from upstairs, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me out of 10. How helpful was I?
9.5, 10, yeah.
Oh, that's strong. That's strong. You're not
strong, that's good.
John?
Sorry, mate.
Don't be sorry, he's used to it.
Four.
Yeah, we barely like...
So let's just say...
Just above plankton, really.
But 10 plus 4 is 14, which is a very strong team.
So, Fippler, you did notice the switches.
I had a go on that
in
as well.
A situation,
I had a go
yeah.
on that,
in
didn't
a situation
I, yeah.
where there were really zombies banging on that door, right?
Yeah, you know.
Look at me, yeah. Look at him. Which one is going to be food? Which one's going to dominate?
Mm. There's no pressure here. Yeah. There's no pressure. Buckley, take your time. Take your time.
John's food, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your first course, mate.
And that's what a good teamwork is about, identifying your unique skills. And we got 14 out of 10.
That's 140% of
the
team.
I'm happy with that. Let's give ourselves a big round of applause, everybody. Great
stuff. We'd failed miserably, but we hadn't just failed as individuals, we'd failed as a team. And that's what's given me the greatest encouragement ever. We'd learn not just about zombies, we'd learn we can do things and make them happen, even if the things that we want to happen actually don't. Because when we work as a team, something happens, even if we don't do that. The Unexplainers is a Zipline production for I mean BBC Radio Wales.
Right, John, let's do a trailer, come on.
Okay, here we go. The Demon Seed is happening. It's now. It's here. It's about to open your mind to a whole new world of paranormal existence, mysteries, intrigue.
Yeah. Well, it's just that. It's things that, you know, is you talking about things that can't be explained.
Yeah.
And then me explaining them.
Unlike any other show that's been done, especially between the two of us ever.
Oh, yeah, nothing like anything we've done previously.
If you want to waste half an hour, then just click the link that will take you to this thing. And it
might be longer than that.
Yeah.
And it might be shorter than that.
Yeah.
But it'll be around that length of time.
I've got it. I've got it.
Go on.
Haven't got much on. Listen to the Demon Seed.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's
Walk
it.
In the dark. Listen to the Demon Seed.
And we can do it together. Yeah, yeah. So
Walk in the dark.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Washing up.
There we go. Listen to the Demon Seed. Paint in the wall.
Listen to the Demon Seed. Haven't got. I don't know many people.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Don't like mixing. I want to stay in tonight.
Listen to the Demon Seed. You've been kicked up by your missus because she found out you've been fiddling with next door. You live sleeping
the
in
wife.
Your car.
Yeah.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Had a power cut and I haven't got anything to do.
Earbuds still work because your phone was charged up.
Yes.
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Car broken down on the side of a motorway. No.
Be careful with that.
Okay.
Because you've got to be aware of traffic and stuff.
All right, how about this? Car broken down on the side of the motorway. Safely gone behind the barrier on the hard shoulder away from the car and called the authorities.
And then?
Listen to the Demon Seed.
Yeah.
That is a good trailer.
Crossing the road.
Don't listen to the Demon Seed.
Pause.
Yeah.
Cross
the
road safely.
Side. Yeah, get to the other side. And then...
the pavement again. Listen to the Demon Seed.
Demon Seed, yeah. What other things are
going on an hour-long walk. Listen to the Demon Seed. But then the last sort of 15 minutes plus...
Just listen to birdsong.
Nature.
Listen to birdsong. You miss out a lot sometimes by having headphones on. You miss out on a lot.
Worried about being asked for spare change by homeless people?
Listen to the Demon Seed, yeah.
Or pretend. Just pretend listening to the Demon Seed.
Yeah, classic. On a train, looking out the window.
Yeah.
Listen to the...
In a quiet carriage, make sure it's very quiet.
Yeah. We don't want none of this.
Worse. Although we haven't got any drum and bass in the Demon Seed.
No, I can get some in. I'm working on a track at the moment, actually.
Well, so. No, don't, because it'll...
Yeah, think of that's that. True. Might ruin it.
And trains in it.
Okay. All right, well, I think we've given them a pretty good roundup of what to... how to utilise...
Well, producer reset a punchy 15 seconds, so that should nail it.
That's right in there. That is top of the charts.
That was perfect. Well done.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Reese.
No problem.
Producer Reese there.
I like the way the standards are so low. That was
if you're you producer Reese, you know, listen to the Demon Seed. You'll have to because he's doing the edit.
Yeah.